She is immortal. A thousand years old. And she cannot die. A creature of legend. Like the Raven. A thief who stole the sun and the moon. They sent a warrior to bring her back. He found her. Together, they brought back light to the world. I was a cop. To me, she was just a thief. Another day on the job. But she wasn't. She changed my life. Changed everything. And both of us knew from that moment on, nothing would ever be the same.
And welcome into Let's Watch Highlander. This is Let's Watch Highlander, The Raven, episode 2, full disclosure. And here to talk with you about it, as we are every week, I am Travis, a.k.a. TV's Travis. Over there, that is the Audie Norman. Audie, how are you?
Doing all right, man. You know, just doing what I can, getting by.
Yep. So we are on episode 2, full disclosure. And we have moved past the pilot episode. We're back into something that feels more familiar now.
Yeah.
So we got another immortal. We get them actually talking about immortals, which is weird. So I am excited to talk about this one. It's a step up from last week for sure.
Oh, yes. Very much so.
We also have a special guest star, and it's somebody that I like quite a bit. So that's going to be, that's pretty fun. But I think first what we should do, we should talk about what this episode was even about.
Yeah. Why don't we do that?
I'm a beta tester.
You play with little video games?
No. Like fail safes, firewalls, digital security.
Like a hacker.
Hey man, you're talking to an artist.
An artist. Okay. Let's see you do something with this, Picasso.
So, our episode opens up with a quick recap of last week. And after the recap of the first episode, things basically move along. So, Amanda is trying to talk to Nick. Nick does not want anything to do with her. There's a scene where she walks into a bar where he's sitting there drinking. And he doesn't want anything to do with her. She wants to apologize without really explaining anything. Which, you know, always works so well.
Yeah. It's also funny because it's typical Amanda.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. So she ends up leaving and Nick leaves, stumbles out drunk. And as he's walking down the street, he hears a little commotion in the alley and he looks down and there's an elderly man getting mugged or appears to be getting mugged in the alley. So Nick, being the guy that he is, even though he's no longer a police officer, runs to the old man's aid and straight up flying tackles the attacker, which I loved. I thought that was great. Starts fighting him off. There's another guy. Then Amanda appears out of nowhere and helps before they see somebody in a car. And Amanda feels the buzz and recognizes the guy, and the car drives away and they turn their attention back to the elderly gentleman that was attacked and shot in the alley. He is an elderly native person and he starts speaking Navajo, which Nick of course doesn't understand, but Amanda does. Which confuses the hell out of Nick. He's like, wait, you what, huh? Hold on. And then she tries to kind of hand wave it away. Like, oh, I'm not really sure what he was saying, right. Even though she speaks to him in Navajo before he dies in front of them. The cops are on their way. So Amanda, of course, does the Amanda thing and just disappears on them.
Well, I should hope they're on their way when somebody gets mugged and shot right outside a cop bar.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, because Nick wasn't the only, Nick was in there, but there were cops sitting in there drinking, too. That is a good point. So Amanda does the whole disappearing act and leaves Nick to kind of deal with the aftermath. Amanda, of course, realizing and recognizing who the guy was, He was somebody by the name of Mario Cardoza, who mm-hmm. she knew from some time previous. So she's like, well, I'm out. And it's Lucy, her live-in roommate, Lucy. It's Lucy's birthday party. They're going to celebrate her 50th. And meanwhile, Amanda's packing a bag and she's like, look, I'm sorry I'm going to miss the party, but Mario Cardoza is here. I need to be on a different continent. And goes mm-hmm. to leave. Before her and Lucy can leave, though, Cardoza shows up at the apartment.
Yep.
With his goons. And, of course, doesn't want Amanda to leave. Wants to know who Amanda was with, what she found out, any of that kind of stuff. Very threatening to her. Mario Cardoza, played by Carlo Rota, who we will talk about mm-hmm. later. Turns out he is a assassin. And somebody that Amanda has crossed in the past. So most of this episode is a mixture of Nick trying to figure out what is going on, who the guy was, who the old man was, and also who Amanda is. And Amanda trying mm-hmm. to talk to him. So Nick goes out and finds a young man living in a trailer. And it's the old man's grandson, who is his name's Johnny, played by Ryan Black. And mm-hmm. Johnny doesn't really want to help him at first, but Nick kind of sort of drops something about Navajo. And eventually Johnny lets him inside. He's got a computer. He works from home. He's sort of they were kind of trying to make him out to be like a certified ethical hacker. Like he does penetration testing from home and all that. It's kind of cool, though, to have technology really brought into this, because this was a higher level of tech than we'd seen mm-hmm. in the Highlander series yet.
And by somebody who's not a complete dork. Like, they don't make him out to be a dorky character.
Yeah. Yes. So they do a little speech recognition on what the Navajo words were that Nick sort of remembered hearing and wrote down phonetically.
Which I've got to say, at this point in the 90s, he's laughing at Nick for wanting to type instead of using voice. And like,
I mean,
that's funny.
It's funny to think about now, but.
Right, exactly. That's what I mean. Just of all the voice recognition stuff we do now.
So Johnny and Nick find out that there's some info. They go through his grandfather's stuff. And they don't find anything in the trunk, but then Nick notices that the bottom of it's fake, and he pulls up the board, and there's a file in there, and he opens up the file. Now, I will say one thing about them going through the trunk full of stuff is Nick Wolf is supposed to be, like, just having left the police force.
Right.
He is the worst person at rifling through stuff. Because he was just throwing things everywhere. When he picked up that file out of the bottom of it, he opened up the file and just like let everything fall out of it onto the floor.
Yeah.
It made me laugh so much to watch that.
Yeah.
But they find some photos, some old photos, so they scan them into the computer and zoom and enhance. Mm-hmm.
Pixel enhance.
Yes.
Love that.
And in the picture, who do we see? We see
Amanda.
Yeah. In the picture, the photograph they see Amanda in is from 1952. So Amanda wants to warn Nick about Mario because Mario saw him and knows about him. And Amanda's like, well, I got to at least warn him. Sort of a, mm-hmm. and Lucy's like, oh, you do care about the hunky police officer. And Amanda's trying to play it off, but she's supposed to care about him, so she goes to talk to him. He's got the photos. He starts asking her about it, and we get a flashback.
Yeah, we do.
Which we haven't seen in a while.
No, we haven't. Although, right before the flashback, because I made a note of it, Cardoza's talking to his guys because they apparently figured out that Johnny is tracking him down on the internet. And
oh, yeah.
He just is like, I hate the internet. I'm like, all right, old man. Okay.
Look, Mario, it's not going to get any better in the next 30 years, okay?
Right.
So, and I did like that they're like, well, we have an email address. We can trace that. No, really can't, but that's fine. So Amanda gets triggered into a flashback of 1942 or 1952.
And she
was in, was it Poland?
Warsaw.
Yeah, Warsaw. Where she had last dealt with Mario. Mario paid her to steal a vase, swap it out with a fake. She does that and then finds him outside in a cafe. And while they're sitting there and she can't figure out why he's paying her so much money for this vase, which isn't really worth that much, turns out he used her to plant a bomb. I want to know that technology. Because, you know, I'd like to know how he did that.
And did it enough to keep it from Amanda noticing anything.
Right. In 1952. But I digress.
Mm-hmm.
He blows up an embassy or something or whatever. And it very much upsets Amanda because while she is a thief, she's not a killer.
Right.
And so they parted on not great terms. Nick, of course, no idea who this guy is. Amanda's trying to tell him not to go after him while not revealing that she's an immortal and that he's an immortal and any of that. Nick doesn't listen. Then he gets a call from Johnny saying, hey, I got some more info. That's weird. There's a black Mercedes driving up to my trailer out here in the middle of nowhere for some reason. And it will. And there's guys getting out of it and they've got guns. And it was Cardoza's men went out.
Yep. They traced that email.
Yeah, they did. And they shot up the trailer and hit the propane tank and exploded.
Of course.
Because that's how propane tanks work. So Nick and Amanda go out to try and, you know, find out what's going on with Johnny. They find just the burned out husk of his trailer. No body. But Nick assumes that he's dead somewhere in there.
Right.
And Amanda's still beating around the bush, not really wanting to say anything to him. Finally, she's like, look, you can't go after Cardoza, all right? He's like, why not? He killed Johnny, and he killed the old man, and And she's like, you can't. And finally, she just can't beat around the bush anymore. She's like, he's an immortal.
Mm-hmm.
Nick's like, you're crazy. She goes, no, he's an immortal. I'm an immortal. That's why I didn't die. She's like, actually, I did die, but then I came back to life. So she's got to do the Highlander thing of proving that she's an immortal.
Mm-hmm. I hate this part is what she says. I loved it.
That is humor that the series and Highlander in general always does well with and needs more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the I hate this part or, oh, God, this always hurts or whatever those right. are. I remember one of the only good parts of Highlander 2 is when Connor and Ramirez wake up and start bickering about who has more bullet holes in them,
mm-hmm.
who got shot more times. So
right.
Amanda takes his gun and shoots herself in the stomach while they're driving down the road.
Yeah.
And dies. And then, so of course, Nick stops the truck, gets out.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, no, Amanda, no. You know, he's doing the whole thing. He's getting hysterical. He picks her up out of the truck.
I loved it. Picks her up out of the truck and is just yelling at her, why did you do that? Why did you do that? You idiot, blah, blah, blah.
And then she wakes up and he drops her.
And he drops her. I was like, oh my gosh.
It was so,
so good.
It was so good. And her reaction is perfect because her reaction, like, she almost half expected that to happen. You can kind of tell.
Mm-hmm.
But her reaction is like, look, I know chivalry is dead and all, but could you at least help
right.
me up? But I just love that. She wakes up and he just, and drops her.
Yeah.
Cracked me up. So now he knows. He doesn't fully understand or believe her. Like, he doesn't know what's going on, but he now knows. And then we find Cardoza hiring a hitman for a hit at a church.
Mm-hmm.
So Nick is like, all right, we're going to stop this. They figure out. Oh, they go back. Nick goes back to his gym. He's trying to get away from Amanda, and Amanda's still trying to talk to him. And Johnny shows up. He got away from the trailer.
Somehow. Yep.
We didn't see it. Whatever. Anything's possible during the cutaway. And so he's there. They figure out that Cardoza, who is a pretty public figure, he owns a restaurant, loves to cook, but he has contracted a hit at a church. And they're trying to figure out who it could be. Well, they know he's contracted a hit. That's why he's in town. And they look at the newspaper and figure out that there is a cardinal in town that Cardoza has, he's donated to the church or something. So they figure out that that's what's going on. So Nick and Amanda head to figure out and try to stop things.
Which, just before they leave, one of my other favorite lines in this is when Johnny's sitting there. He's like, wait, if Cardoza has a double and you, talking to Amanda, have a double, and she goes, don't go there, darling. And then even Nick's like, take it easy, kid.
Yeah.
Like, both of them are just like, sit this one out, dude.
So they go to the church to stop things. We see Cardoza with the cardinal, and they're walking along, and then we see intercut with a man putting together a rifle, lining up a shot. He's across the street from the church because, you know, there's no security in that building. And then right at the moment of truth, he shoots and hits Cardoza.
Mm-hmm.
And down
Which
goes.
Makes much more sense as to why earlier Cardoza did not let the hitman actually see him.
Mm-hmm. Because we never saw who his target was. And
right.
Cardoza didn't let him see him. And it was funny because my thought initially was like, why is he hiring somebody to do a hit when he is a hitman?
Right.
And it wasn't until after that scene as I got thinking about it, like, oh, I know where this is going. Mm-hmm. So Cardoza had coordinated and called in a hit on himself because he was wanted in however many countries. He's a famous, you know, he's an infamous hitman. So Amanda kind of figures that out and tells Nick that because Nick is like, what's going on? He's trying to figure out this whole plot. And Amanda's like, look, he's wanted in like five countries or whatever. And if he's dead, no one's going to look for him. And Nick kind of gets wise to it. And Amanda has the realization she's got to do something about this. So she quickly tells Nick, look, I'm going with you because Nick's not giving up. He's going to go after Cardoza. Mm-hmm. He's going to find him because he knows, based on what Amanda has told him, that he's not actually dead. And Amanda's like, okay, just real quick, I got to go use the restroom before we go. And she had made a call to Lucy to bring the car.
Right.
So she runs into Lucy and says, all right, look, I need the car. Lucy's like, I got the plane ticket to wherever. We're not leaving. And Lucy doesn't want her to go after Cardoza, but kind of also isn't going to get in the way and sort of understands.
Right.
So Amanda takes off. Nick, clueless Nick, eventually figures out that she's not coming back from the bathroom.
Right. My note is, Nick finally knows he got bus left.
Yep. He does find Lucy, asks her what happened. Lucy is like, Amanda left. And then we get cut to Amanda showing up and confrontation with Cardoza at a parking
garage. Just before that, I like Cardoza getting ready to get out of town, getting his bag and stuff. And his one right-hand man is there and it's like, you know, this went off pretty good. It's like, yeah, I guess so. But, you know, it's going to be fine. Nobody knows you're immortal. And then Cardoza's like, almost. Shoots him. I was like, okay, smart.
Yeah. By the way, that guy, character's name is Charlie. It's played by James Kindy. His IMDb photo looks like a discount version or a copy of a copy of Ben Kingsley.
Yeah, a little bit.
There's a little Ben Kingsley in there. So Amanda confronts Cardoza. They have their sword fight. She did stop to change, right, and put on her all black leather outfit.
Yeah.
So Cardoza and her have it out. Nick somehow knew where she was going.
Well, he went to the restaurant. He went to Cardoza's restaurant and then looks across the street and sees...
Oh, that's right. That's how he figured it out.
He sees shadows from... That's what, the pilot of the Highlander, the series?
Yeah, I think so. So he ends up watching and witnessing the two of them have a sword fight where she takes Cardosa's hand. And then she has a quickening.
Yep.
And the episode ends with him asking her what that was. She tells him it was a quickening, and that ends the episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, pretty straightforward Highlander-style plot.
Yeah.
Bad guy immortal doing bad guy immortal things. You know, our protagonist immortal and Amanda doing what she does. Sprinkle in the fact that she's got to explain to this new guy about her being immortal, but it was a very by the numbers Highlander plot, which is fine. It's good because we needed that.
Yeah, we definitely did.
But I have some thoughts on a few things in this episode.
Crazy bitch, what did you do? How dare you? No! Why?
Well, I know chivalry's dead, but how about a little common courtesy?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good, straightforward episode. I just got to say, Mario Cardoza, rather, played by Carlo Rota. I love Carlo Rota.
Mm-hmm.
He's awesome. I most know him as Papa Yakavetta from the Boondock Saints. He's the mob boss in that. He is just a... He always plays an interesting... He's got a lot of charisma. He's very... He's just got like a thing to him. And he does well in these kind of charismatic bad guy roles, I feel.
Yeah. Though I will say, where I know him from the most is 24. He was on a season of 24 as good guy, actually. So it was interesting to see him here and remember that. And yeah, it's these kind of roles, and then thinking about him in 24 makes you realize just how versatile of an actor this particular dude is. Like, he can carry it in all kinds of ways.
And he's very much a character actor. He chews up scenery. He has a lot, but he's having fun while he does it too.
Oh, absolutely.
The whole scene where he is in Amanda's apartment is great because he's just relishing in just making Amanda and Lucy uncomfortable the whole time.
Yep.
And then the scene where we see him in his restaurant cooking is great.
Yeah. And actually doing it. Like, you can tell that's not some double doing it. Like, they're panning up to him, like, doing all that stuff. I'm like, okay, did Carlo get to actually cook? And can I taste it, please?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that guy knows how to cook. What I like about him is he's got a way of having this sort of... When he's doing a role like this, and it was similar to, again, Yakavetta, which would have been, I think, like a year later that he did that in Boondock Saints. But there's something about... He's got this like casual indifference to what's going on, to the horrible things that are happening. Because at the end of that cooking scene where... Charlie, the right-hand man, is like, well, what about the church? And he goes, don't worry about that. You take care of your assignment. I'll take care of mine. We're fine. And he's like, by the way, taste this. It's pretty good, huh? And I love the whole, you know, has it got too much garlic? No. Yeah, there's no such thing.
Right.
I think also he works as an immortal character because he's sort of, I mean, he's got kind of a English accent going on. But it's not I couldn't pinpoint like where it was from exactly. And he was born in Italy. And he traveled a lot when he was younger. So he has the ability to he's kind of got that Christopher Lambert thing of sort of vaguely European accent, but he can vary it a little bit and make it slightly different. So it's a bummer that his character had to lose his head because he would have been fun to have around for more episodes.
Yeah. But
I really liked him. I liked him as a, again, straightforward. We needed, after last week's episode and how it was pretty much a wet fart of an opening for the series, we needed something to bring us back and be like, no. It's still Highlander. It can still be okay.
I was going to say, last week was definitely you're going to have some Highlander in your Highlander, right?
And
this week it was like, oh yeah, here we go, spoosh.
Like really, the pilot episode, if Amanda doesn't get shot at the end of it and then wake up and walk away, there's hardly even immortality mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Like a little bit with her and Lucy, but not really much at all.
Right.
So I don't think the series needs to be this episode all the time. Like we've done that with right. Highlander, but we need to at least come back and level set a little bit and remind everybody, no, look, this is still the same universe. These things still happen.
Yeah. They would have been okay if not, they didn't need like another immortal or villain or anything, but they needed some like, you know, the flashback or something to make it feel like, hey, Amanda's 1,000 years old. Not just because we said it in the credits, but because of this experience or that experience.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can play with immortality, but I do think that there is something to the Highlander formula of like, you know, we're going to deal with immortality and the flashbacks. And in this case, it was a very on the nose flashback of like, this is why her and Mario have beef. And that's mm-hmm. That's all we need, but it gives us something.
Yeah.
It's familiar. And it gives us some motivation for everything that's going on. So I liked that. And
like we said so many times in previous episodes of Highlander, the series, this particular flashback, we had the one flashback. That was all we needed. It didn't overstay its welcome. It wasn't too long. It showed us exactly what we needed to know.
Yep.
And still tied into the episode well enough.
Yes. And it kept the pacing. Because that was another thing is I didn't feel that episode last week felt overly long to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because the pacing was off, and this was a snappier bit of pacing. We didn't get a lot of repeated stuff either. It didn't feel like we were treading over the same ground all the time. It was kind of things were moving forward.
Except for using footage from Highlander the series pilot.
Well, okay, yes.
But that's he
had to see what was going on somehow, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. How are we going to do that? Well, let's just use some old footage.
But budgets are a thing. I do think too.
This is us picking some nits. So.
Oh yeah, I also like it. Amanda getting to take a head and getting to do some sword fighting. I did think that the sword fight at the end was good. It didn't look to me to be stunt doubles either. Too much.
No. Didn't seem that way.
It was, of course, out in the open on a public parking garage on top of some random person's car, but hey, it's nighttime, so nobody's out in the city at night. Sure,
except Nick.
Except for Nick, exactly.
And you know, the quickening wasn't too bad, but I think she needs to take a few lessons from Adrian on that. She could have carried that a little bit better.
Yeah, I was gonna say Elizabeth Grayson's quickening was fine, but nobody does it like Adrian Paul. He figured out the magic sauce of like just the right amount of like pain, pleasure. I'm enjoying this, but it also hurts mixture that like, I don't know how to describe exactly the face and like movements that he's doing, but there was something to the way, and he never did it the same way twice, but it was always variations on that same theme. Like it was both, incredibly pleasurable and incredibly painful at the same time for him. Sometimes it might lean a little more in one direction or another, might be a little more somber, but it was always in that same realm. And this one definitely felt a little wooden. But she'll grow into it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see over the we've got another 20 episodes. We'll see how many more quickenings we get.
Yeah.
You know what? Let's do this now. I just thought of this. All right, there are 20 episodes left in the series, right? Because there was 22 total. We've just finished number two. So, Audie, I ask you, with 20 episodes to go, how many quickenings do you think we will get? We can either guess a number or I can do an over-under.
That's a good question.
Why don't we do this? Over-under 10. Do you think we get half the episodes that have a quickening?
I hope so.
So you're going to take the over?
I'm going to take the over and hope that we get more than at least 10.
All right. You'll take the over. That means I have to take the under. We'll figure out something that we have to do. Whoever loses this little mini wager here at the end of the series.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Kind of Funny does this thing where when they do these things, it's a pizza bet. So we'll just pay for somebody's pizza.
Okay, there you go. Pizza bet. Maybe we'll try to figure out other things we can do, like little silly prop bets over for the series as we go. But for right now, first pizza bet of the series, over under 10 quickenings in the remaining 20 episodes. Audie's got the over. I've got the under. We'll find out.
Hoping.
I got to mention again the guy James Kindy and his IMDb photo just cracked me up. Just I saw that and I was like,
yeah.
He's got like a... I'm trying to think of who the other actor is.
He reminds me of what's his name?
Can you give me a show or a movie or character?
Movie, the cousin from Vacation.
Oh, yes. If Ben Kingsley and Randy Quaid,
yes.
If you put them in a blender, you would get this guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's who he looks like. Yep. He does. He has the Randy Quaid nose and scowl.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a little there's a little bit of Ben Kingsley in there.
Yes. And one more thing while we're talking IMDb, because I said it before we were recording. Patricia Gaze, who plays Lucy, her IMDb photo is a still from her in a Goosebumps thing. So definitely go look her up just to see that, because it's hilarious.
Is that Goosebumps? It looks like something out of the 70s. To me.
Well, I was looking at it. I assume Goosebumps because that's one of the things she's doing.
Oh, no. It's a movie called Rabid from 1977.
Oh, well, there you go.
And she's kind of zombie-ish. I was going to say that looked very, very 70s, kind of 70s horror film. Lucy cracks me up in this show.
Yeah.
Because she is so flamboyant and over the top. And then she'll just stop and drop all of that out of nowhere for some reason.
We got a little bit more of her and Amanda talking about how, you know, you're 8 times my grandmother, but I still feel a... And when Amanda was like, don't you say maternal. Don't you dare say it. It's like sisterly kind of thing for you. It's just their relationship is so interesting. I want more of that, too.
I do, too. I want to see how that develops because if there was one thing that really made Highlander the series work well was the overall relationship between Duncan and Duncan and Tessa, Richie was the other one. Like Duncan and Tessa was a great relationship, but the overall relationship between Duncan and Richie and how that went from like a sort of mentor thing to molding into like a brotherly thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that emotional core that those two relationships gave the series. It's interesting to see that from the other perspective where we have a immortal and mortal relationship, but it's not romantic in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And how that will play out because we haven't really had that.
See? Now I'm just hoping that Lucy dies at some point and becomes immortal, and we get an immortal who is an immortal at a later stage in life than all these youngins.
That would be interesting. That would be kind of interesting. We'll see. We'll have to see how that plays out.
I doubt it happens, but now I want it to.
Headcanon. Maybe it will. But we've got 20 more episodes to go, so you know.
Yeah.
This is a tick up in quality from last week. Let's hope that that can continue. We're not sure exactly because it did only last one season. I will say that there's still basically no chemistry between Elizabeth Grayson and Paul Johansson. And from what I've read, they apparently did not get along very well while making the series. I don't know how much of that is what Elizabeth Grayson was going through at the time because she was going through some stuff in her personal life while also it being public, like to do with the Bill Clinton situation. And because she had apparently had a relationship with him back in like 83 or something like that. But then she was getting questioned by Ken Starr, I think. I'd have to look it up. I know that documentary I mentioned last week about this series, she talked about that in there.
Okay. I still need to watch that.
There was some of that going on. So from what I've read, her and Paul Johansson just did not get along while making this series, which probably is a big reason why it only lasted the one season.
Could be. But there's also something to be said for people that we have learned through our other shows that have had strained relationships that you would never know on
that
camera.
That is true.
So,
but I think sometimes it all depends on the chemistry on screen. Like Laverne and Shirley, for instance, is one where they're not in a romantic relationship, so their chemistry can be different on screen. And maybe that can work better. But either way,
I always fall back on Castle, because apparently at some point Nathan Fillion and Stan Yakotic just grew to not like each other at all, especially on her end, apparently.
Hmm.
But they were closer and closer each season and stuff, and I never knew that until after the fact. I was like, whoa, okay.
Huh. It's hard for me to wrap my head around anyone not liking Nathan Fillion.
Yeah.
That's tough. But I guess he could probably, I mean, I suppose it's sort of like, for the longest time, I always thought, how could somebody not like Jim Carrey? Because I'd always read the stories or hear the stories about Tommy Lee Jones and how much he despised working with Jim Carrey. But as I got older, I'm like, no, okay, I can sort of get it. He would be tough. Mm-hmm. Maybe Fillion can be a little grating sometimes. Who knows? I mean, everybody can have bad days.
Right. Well, and I think both of them come from two completely different backgrounds, and I think that was part of it, but that's a whole other show.
That's true. One last thing about this particular episode. It did have a wonderful bit of IMDb trivia. You ready for this?
Ooh, sure.
Here, this is the type of thing you can only find on IMDb. The flashback in this episode takes place in 1952. Someone took the time to put that in the trivia for the episode on IMDb.
Thank you, IMDb, because I didn't bother watching the episode when the, Warsaw 1952 came on screen.
It just
after it was on the picture.
Made me laugh so much. So that's episode two, full disclosure. Step up. Big time step up from last week.
Yep.
Carlo Moda Carlo Rota was great as Mario Cardoza. And it was your bog standard Highlander episode, but boy, did we need it.
So. Yeah. And like we say, it's a standard episode. Like, remember, folks, we went through all those seasons of episodes where there were not good ones at all.
Mm-hmm.
So like saying this is a good Highlander episode is not at all a bad thing.
Oh, yeah. No.
Like, this was a good episode.
Absolutely. It was exactly what the show needed after that pilot. And it firmly places it within the realm of Highlander and Immortals and sword fights and all the things that we as an audience would like to see. And what I'm curious to see is where this series goes from here.
Right.
So if you like this kind of a conversation, we do it weekly. We record it live, so you can come hang out with us live at twitch.tv/TVsTravis. Typically Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern time. It's always subject to change. Show comes out on Thursdays, anywhere you get your podcasts. Just search for Let's Watch Highlander. Find Audie's amazing artwork, and you will find us. We do this because we enjoy it. If you do enjoy it, ratings and reviews are always great. Word of mouth, spreading the love. If you know anybody that likes Highlander episodes, listen, we're on season 7 here. We've got 6 other seasons involving Highlander, the TV show, all the Highlander movies, all the Highlander you can shake a stick at. We have been covering it for a couple of years now. Audie and I love this stuff. I am on all the social networks as TV's Travis. Love to talk Highlander, love to talk movies, comics, television, whatever it is. We're in spooky season right now, so I'm all up, up to my ears in horror movies and spooky stuff. So pick your social network, look for TV's Travis. That's going to be me. And hit me up. Let me know if you watched this show with us. It is available to stream on Freevee, every episode of Highlander the Raven. So you can watch them all there. Limited commercials. The commercials aren't bad. And if you've got thoughts, send them to us. Send them to us on any of the socials. Okay. And then, Audie, where can people find you?
You can find me on the socials at The Audie Norman. So that's where I'm at in most of them. So if there's a social network that's you're on and I'm there, just look up The Audie Norman.
Absolutely. My favorite one to go to for your stuff, though, is Instagram and all the art.
Sure.
Because, man, you just knock it out of the park every time. I love that stuff. How's your Inktober going?
Not well.
It's been a rough
one. Not well at all. Yeah, it's just starting a day job and getting used to that, and everything else happening. Like, the kids are on fall break this week and stuff, and I got COVID for a week, and it was just like, bah. It's just, October's been interesting, so.
You do what you can, and it is October, which is one of the best months of the year. It's finally autumn weather out there, Halloween. What better time to watch a fantasy series like Highlander, right?
Heck yeah.
Now, next week, we've got episode 3, which is titled... where'd it go?
So 3 Bloodlines.
Oh, yeah. So that'll be next week. It originally aired October 10th, 1998.
So
25 years ago, yesterday.
There you go.
As of this recording. 25 years ago, this series began. So join us next week for season 3, or season 1, episode 3, Bloodlines. Mm-hmm. Until then, just remember that we're still doing Highlander stuff.
Yep. I'm a beta tester.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.